Hello, and welcome to the Fire Officer Project Podcast, a show where we will discuss and learn together about topics specific to the American Fire Service. Come along as we explore areas such as firehouse traditions and culture, the fire family life, leadership, as well as getting yourself ready to be the company officer. This show is for everyone from the rookie firefighter to newly promoted officers. I'm your host, Mark McCurdy. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome to the second episode of the Fire Officer Project. In this episode titled The Foundation, we're going to talk about just that. Some of the basics that it will take to get you started down the path to promotion. So sit back, relax, take a few notes, and let us know what you think. And here we go with episode two. I'm going to loosely title it The Foundation because we're going to start off here with some of the basics of what I think you might need to get yourself ready to go down that path of promotion. Doesn't mean by any means at all that what I say is what should happen. Mostly I'm speaking from the experience I have with my current department. And every department's different. Every agency does things differently. So it's not always going to be exactly what I'm saying here. Probably something similar, but take it for what it is. Take some of the little pearls out that you think will benefit you, and we'll go from there. So what's been going on? Well, first, I finally figured out how to load everything. Hopefully everyone's liking the title and how things are going. I know there's some clipping and some things like that, but I'm not a professional at editing, so I'm not even going to try. In fact, in this episode, now that I'm finally going and have gotten through that first nerves of just getting the first episode out, the bonus episode for 9/11 and things, this is more of what I really wanted to talk about. So there'd be a lot of ums and ahs and maybe me moving around, but I don't want to sit here and try to polish it. I'll take out the big stuff so it's not annoying as hell, but I'm just going to go through. I have a syllabus or a notes I write out here so that each section goes down. It's pretty smooth, but I'm going to try not to stop and start it constantly. And if I bounce around, that would be kind of similar to what I do in a class. So let's do a little review. I get that first episode out, which is basically an intro, and it's a hey, a lot of, hey, look at me. But I do think it's important to give context to the person that's speaking and kind of where their background is. I'm not saying I have a ton of experience, but I have enough to understand some of this, and I wanted to put that out there. So to do that first episode is kind of annoying, because I don't like to do that. I don't think a lot of firemen like to do that, and they're pretty humble and they don't talk about themselves a bunch. But where credit comes from is street cred, your experience, maybe some of the things that you're willing to do or say kind of helps you. But so that's what that first episode was. The second one, I titled it as a bonus because it's not really part of what we're going to do here. But if you've listened to it, then you already know what I'm going to say. It's just a family tie thing. We just got back from New York on Monday. Today is Wednesday the 15th. So just got back from that 20th anniversary at 9/11. It's hard to say we had a great time or it's a wonderful experience and all that without realizing the gravity of why we were there. But I think you understand what I'm saying. It was a good time. I'm glad we went. I can't believe it's been 20 years. I still remember pulling in the driveway at 7-Eleven to get my coffee to go to work that day. I just got off probation when that whole thing went down. So it feels like a long time ago, but at the same time, doesn't. So we just got back, spent time with family down at the Trade Center, down at Captain Brown's Ladder House, and spent some time with those guys. And it was a great experience for what it was. I'm glad we're home. There's another episode I'm going to do later on of kind of telling you about nerves and mental stress and things like that when you leave your family. So it's just my wife and I went with family members and left the kids behind, but that's for another day. Today, I just want to get back on track here, this foundation of what we're here for. So I'm going to lay this out about what we're going to talk about today. I had to pause it there for a second because I was ready to cough, but as I look at my notes here, I'm just going to go over kind of the general plan of the episodes for the future, a little disclaimer of what's going on, but I want to plant this seed right now, and then we'll bring it around at the end and kind of, it's a rhetorical question, not necessarily rhetorical, but obviously I can't hear your answers. But at the beginning of my classes, the physical classes, or anytime I talk to somebody, before I start going down the path with them, because they usually come up to you, okay, how do I do what you're doing? I stop them for a second and I go, why do you want to promote? And a lot of times you get like blank stares at you because they don't know what to say. They're looking for the canned answer, almost kind of like when we first were all trying to get hired, or if you're still in that process. You have that canned answer, and if somebody strays or throws you a curveball, it's like crickets all of a sudden. So I ask them that, but then I wait. I make them feel uncomfortable by asking that, and then I'll throw a few bones out to them. Okay, is it because you want to just look cool with the uniform on? You want to wear the orange or red helmet or whatever your department has? I've had people say, well, I get to run the day. Well, true, but sort of. A lot of your day is already still predicted for you. You might choose where you go to lunch or some of the other things, but I think you got to dig a little bit deeper. All those things count, but, and when I think about it, yeah, that's great. Is it honestly because I wanted to challenge myself with talking on the radio more, running incidents, taking on more responsibility? Yes, that's the majority of it. But was it also because in the long run, I realized maybe I can't be running the call volume on the squad, the paramedic squad, the department I work for, climbing in the back of the ambulance for another 16, whatever, maybe years. So yeah, that's part of it. You're kind of saving yourself a little bit for the long run. But whatever it is that you have the main drive for, make sure that you think about that first, because you need that piece of the foundation. Why do you want to do this? When it gets tougher, or when you're trying to study and you don't have that necessarily motivation or understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. Other than, I do hear the people say, well, that dumbass got promoted, so I don't want to work for him, or if he can get promoted, I can. Yeah, it's true, but don't make that one of the main ones. Do what you need to do when you need to do it. And remember, I talked about in the first episode, it's a 30-year career on average. I still have another 9 years to go on my job before I can even probably consider retiring. And so I've been a captain for 5 years now. If I don't promote anymore, which I don't think I will, that's another 9 years on top of the five already of being a captain, like be half my career. So do a good job to set yourself up for the experience of what you're trying to get to. And I'll explain what I'm talking about in a little bit, but so why do you want to promote? So not only are we talking mostly company officer stuff, but you may be a firefighter right now. You may be an explorer and you're thinking down the path. Okay, if I get hired now, you start lining it out time frame. Because the last thing you want to do is just see the job flyer pop up and go, oh crap, you know what? I will take that test. You should be ready to go. I'm always telling guys constantly, whether it's training or whatever you may be doing, you got to think one step ahead, if not two. Because if you wait till you get to that pause and you go to move to the next thing, it doesn't work. So you're always thinking one step ahead, whether you want to verbally acknowledge it or not, because you'll see those guys too that hide the fact that they want to promote. I'm over that too. If you want to promote, fine. You want to hide it from people, that's fine too. But if you're going to promote, tell people, because you'll get people that will help you, or you're going to find the other person who's being quiet about it. And maybe you can form a study group, whatever it may be. Now, if you're a dumbass and you just keep telling people, then yeah, you're probably going to get some flack for it, but it's probably deserved. So if I have one piece of advice right now for guys, when you're young, be careful of what you're doing, because that's going to come back and bite you one day. Because, and to think that you can say, well, you can't do that now. I did that as a fireman, but don't do what I do. You might have to eat crow on that later on. And I tell people all the time, own your mistakes. But if you can avoid those, do it now. All right. So what am I talking about? So if you're a fireman and you think about being an engineer, start lining yourself out with a mentor type engineer. If you're a fireman going to go right to captain, or you're currently an engineer or chauffeur or whatever your department calls it, and you're thinking about being a captain, there's a lot to it to get yourself ready for it. You don't just willy-nilly just say, oh, I'm going to take the test. You can do that, but your chances of doing well are going to be obviously a lot lower. So bullet points for this, so I can get myself back on track before I just keep rambling, is we're going to talk about a path to promotion. what to do now and how to start seeking out a mentor, what to do as you're working towards the test, when to start acting, like, because we'll get guys who will get on the list and immediately think the next day they come to work, they're going to start acting. So sitting in the seat with the captain, and we're going to talk about when that, well, my opinion, and when that's, when I think that's appropriate. What everything in review again, and then we'll close it and wrap it up. But this first episode is just laying that foundation. So we'll get some, you might get some pearls out of it. I don't know how long I'm going to go, but I think it's important to start here because otherwise you're kind of all over the map. All right. So before I say much more, I went back and I added a disclaimer to the intro explanation of this podcast because I started thinking like, oh, maybe I'm going to say something down the road that isn't in alignment with my department or the fire service, but I'm usually pretty decent at paying attention to what I'm saying. But I also don't like to not say what I want because that doesn't help anybody. So disclaimer, anything I say in this episode, future episodes, whatever it may be, is not the official stance of my department. I don't represent my department as a public information officer, anything of that nature. This is all my personal opinion with the understanding of trying to keep how things are portrayed in a positive light. Now, if there's things that's wrong or I think it's wrong that guys do, I'm going to say it because it's fine. But I'm going to be within reason of saying things. And conduct unbecoming of an officer and everything that we have written in our code of ethics at work, I'm going to try to stick to that. So you may get hurt feelings on certain things, but we all get hurt feelings. You're tougher for it. If you see it, deal with it and move on. So disclaimer, I don't represent my department. I don't represent any department that I've worked for in the past, whether it's volunteer, explorer, private ambulance company, whatever it may be. So enough of that, because I think it's necessary to say it, but enough. Okay, so a path to promotion. And we planted that first thing, so it should be in the back of your head. Why do you want to promote? Where do you want to be? What spot do you want to go to? Are you going from fireman to engineer, engineer to captain? I won't speak past that because I'm not past that. But where are you now? Where do you want to be? And by what time? And a lot of times, the by what time isn't controlled by you. Unless you're saying, okay, 2 years from now, 2 years from now, 4 years, whatever it may be, that's fine. But what I mean is the tests, unless they're regimented, ours kind of a somewhat follow a plan, but not really in our department. I think they're working towards a more of a consistent plan. But if you're waiting for then the flyer to come out, you're kind of screwing yourself. You need to be working towards it and then don't take it at the last minute. But I'll talk about when I think you should start taking tests too. So where are you at? Where do you want to be and by when? What rank? What is it that you're working towards? In my department, we have a thing called appraisal of promotability. It's basically a large resume that gets put into a notebook. And if you want it, and what I've done in the past is I printed off a copy. I don't care if the person's, I won't do it for people on probation because they got enough to worry about. They may not even be there. They could suck ass and get fired, so I don't give it to them. But once they're on probation, firefighters, if they're at my house, I'll give everybody a copy. So here is the appraisal of promotability. It's a pretty large packet. Has all the areas that you get points for doing special projects, assignments, experience, classes, all kinds of education, and it lines out where you're trying to get, how many of what you need, how many incidents you need to be on, how much fire prevention you've had to done, and how to log it and everything. So we'll give that to people and say, start working on it. Because there's two things that'll happen. One, they'll take it and go, oh, that's cool, but I'm not even thinking about promoting. And I tell them, I know you're not thinking about promoting, but it's a journal. Because when you go back in 5-10 years from now, how the heck do you think you're going to find all the stuff that you did? And you're going to do a bunch of stuff if you're one of those motivated people. You don't want to short yourself. But granted, the process may change 10 years from now, but it's what we have now. So start working on it. And however it works in your department, start thinking in that context I just described for LA County. However they do it in your department, get a hold of somebody and have them show you whatever it is that you need to start working towards. Or create your own. If you don't have one, create your own. Make a journal. split it out, put it in a notebook with dividers, classes, all your certs, separate them out, have it ready to go. Because it's a lot easier to do that than it is to try to go track 10 years of experience or whatever it may be that's just thrown in your locker at work. So if you don't have somebody that hands it to you, which I hadn't always done until recently, so you need to take some initiative, start doing it yourself. And I suggest doing that and kind of laying out and seeing where you're at and seeing how your kind of culture in your fire department works before you go ask somebody for help. You need to do a self-assessment, see where you're at, write down notes or whatever you think you need to work on or where your strengths and weaknesses are, and then you go find somebody that's going to help you with it. Because if you just walk up to somebody and go, yeah, can you help me with this? How motivated do you think they are if you haven't done any of the legwork? So that's my first recommendation. Come up with that plan of where you need to fill in holes, get a general assessment of yourself, and then you can start figuring out, okay, let me find this person that's going to help me. And it may not be a friend. It may be an acquaintance, somebody you look up to, somebody who maybe you're not super easy to go up to and talk to, but you want to find that person that's going to get you where you want to be. And they may push back on you and say, well, what have you done here? That, so that's why I'm just trying to help you out ahead of time. Have yourself lined out and say, here's what I have to offer. Will you help me or can you help me with what I need to figure out? So education's big. I just have an associate's degree, but a lot of people are working towards a bachelor's or a master's, or you may have already had that. Now you've changed careers and now you're in the fire service. So education's big. State fire classes, basically your Monday through Friday or 40-hour classes that in California, you get a company officer cert after you've taken a certain amount of classes and they line it all out for you. So figure out in your state or your agency or however they may be what they're looking for those specific fire department classes, committees you may get on. Experience is big. And I'm going to come back to that one because I'm going to use that one for last. Are you going to take the engineer test? So if you're a fireman, are you just trying to go from fireman to captain? Or are you going to try to promote to engineer or driver or whatever it may be called? Is that the next hurdle? Plus you're working on the back burner of your captain stuff? That's a good plan too. But we have a lot of people now, more so than I've ever known, that are promoting from firefighter to captain in our department. And prior to the maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit more, maybe I'm off, but I don't think so. You used to know the people who went from fireman to captain in our job because it was nearly impossible. Now it's becoming kind of common. And I'm not knocking it, but here's one thing I'll tell you, you better own. And I tell people this all the time in the class. So if it pisses people off, that's fine. If you go from fireman to captain, you don't be prepared, I should say, when somebody throws it back at you, when you try to tell the engineer how to do their job or where to park, or whatever. For the most part, guys will give you respect. But if you're a jerk off captain who flexes all the time and has to remind people that you're the captain, be prepared for that engineer to push back on you one day. So you own it, but you pay attention to where you've gotten. Each of us has their own individual path of how you got where you got. So just be prepared for that one. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often. If you step on your meat, prepare to get kicked in the junk because that can happen to you. Not everybody's super nice and is just going to accept the fact that you're in charge even when you say something. Now you are, and you should earn their respect that way too. Sometimes you might have to sit somebody down and go, yeah, you're right, I wasn't, but I am in charge. And you know how that goes. That's going to be a difficult situation. So just be prepared for it if it comes to you. I don't think it's going to happen very often, but anyways, back on track. What's your plan? Are you going to go from fireman to engineer, engineer to captain, whatever it may be? But in our packet, if you look at it, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. So classes that are 1 or 2 day classes, committees you can get on that you still need to produce, but they really don't take a ton of your time, or writing in the business journal, doing fire prevention. You have to get all that done. So you're even in the same parking lot as people that are trying to get into the stadium, which is ultimately getting promoted. You have to capture all the low-hanging fruit. And sometimes what happens is people wait to the last minute. Now every clown is trying to write in the journal, do the fire reports all at the same time because they're mad rushing it. And here's where I'll say, start planning this now, because it's a lot easier to be at marathon pace to get to where you want to be with this promotion than it is to be mad rush. Because people aren't going to say it, then they may help you, but it's very obvious when people mad rush everything, like every class they can take, every committee they can be on, every little opportunity to grab all that low-hanging fruit, they're bum rushing to try to get done. And sometimes it can get a little annoying. And all of a sudden you're thinking, well, all of a sudden this guy just wanted to decide to be a captain. How much experience is he going to get by just mad rushing it? So start thinking marathon pace versus mad rush. There might be some pieces where you have to do mad rush, but if you plan things out, you usually don't have to do that. So back to experience. Take a hard evaluation on your experience. Have you worked in slower houses your whole career? Busy houses your whole career? Have you been at the same house your whole career and that's all you know? In a larger agency like ours, it's very easy to do that. And I did that as a fireman. I was at one station for 5 years, but it's because the crew was awesome. But it was also an area that taught me a lot. So that's in the city of West Hollywood. It's a contract city that we provide services for. But it, and I've talked about it in the past, but it's a high-rise area, dense population. We trained a lot. We had a great crew, good experience, paramedic engine, paramedic squad with the BC. Good area. Now, I'm not saying what I did is right, but pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going and rounding yourself out if you have the opportunity. Because you can tell when people have only been in one area for their whole career. In our department, the brush is a big component. And I physically have heard guys tell that they hope they don't get assigned to a brush station. How many times have you heard in your life, hope is not a plan? You can't do that. If you're in an area or department that one half of it is this and the other half is that, and you're hoping you don't get on the other half just because you just want to avoid it, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. So get that out of your head right now. Smaller agencies, it's a little bit tougher. Not only does everybody know you, you may not have the opportunity to move around because of the way things happen with the union or the fire chief or who he moves around or who he or she moves around. You may not have the opportunity. You just got to do what you got to work in your box or your area that you have the opportunity to do. So experience. Think about where you're at, what you can do. And sometimes it's that stepping out of the box and putting yourself in an environment. It pretty much always is, right? You put yourself in that uncomfortable environment. Yeah, it sucks for a while. I just moved stations recently. And right now, it's already been 2.5 months. It's that typical, felt like 2 weeks. It's uncomfortable for a bit because you got to learn everybody's name. You're the outsider. They got to understand you. But that's part of it. Moving around for that experience is going to be big. So that's one of my biggest ones. Experience. And in California, at least, I can only speak to that. Taking those company officer classes, I think, is huge. We have people on our job getting promoted that have never taken a company officer class. Now, do I think a 40-hour class where you mostly sit and get talked at and maybe you have to do a couple little roundtable things is going to make you a great captain? No, of course not. But the people that are teaching you is the biggest thing. Now, granted, there are some places where they collect your $300 and they just talk at you and you're like, well, okay, this is dry as hell, or this person's making up half of this stuff, or whatever it may be, and you got to just get through it. But those ones where you have those great mentor type people that are teaching, you're going to learn something. I guarantee it. And they're not cheap, but I think it will help you. I took those classes over a span of time, and I still take nuggets from what I learned from those people because it's the instructor. And I'm not talking smack on people. Like, it's generally they're messed up. It's not. Every once in a while, you'll get stuck like that, but they're usually great people that are teaching because they're putting the extra time in to teach you. So experience and classes are my biggest one. Capturing all the low-hanging fruit. Education's a big one too. If you're 2 credits away from your AS degree and you can knock it out online class, look at that. Figure out how to do that. It's pretty easy nowadays to figure out how to get that done. Wrap all those things up. Tie up loose ends on things for your experience. Okay, now that you've done a self-evaluation and you've got something to bring to somebody, seek out that mentor. You may already have them. They kind of know where you're going, or you may have people come up to you and go, when are you going to promote? If you get the when are you going to promote conversation, you need to feel them out and see if they're just trying to be your buddy and make you feel good because you said something about leaving or bidding out of their station. Or are they the true, hey, I'm serious, when are you going to promote? I'm here to help you type conversation. Find that person, even though if you don't know them well, figure out what they're talking about and set them down and ask them. So find somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Don't find somebody who's going to blow smoke up your butt. Oh, you're awesome. You're great. And then they look at your ability to promote or what you've done, and they're kind of like, oh, boy, this is a lot of work, if they're being honest with themselves as well. So find that mentor. Find multiple mentors. See if somebody else will help you. Get a couple of different opinions, right? It's not always good just to lean on one person because that's their opinion. Don't just listen to me. In fact, you may have already shut this off, but find somebody who's going to tell you the truth. All right. Now that you've got that kind of evaluated, you've got that mentor, and we're going to talk more about mentor, but I don't think I need to. I think if you're looking at something like this or listening to something like this, you probably have those mentors. You just may not have asked them yet what they need to do. A lot of times people are mentoring you every day. But if once you get on that path and say, here's what I really want to do, expect some more from them, and they're going to expect more out of you. So you get all that foundation laid. Now you're looking at the test. If your department is one that predicts the test or says it's going to be around this time, mark that on your calendar, work backwards. Start figuring out what I'm going to need to study. Start laying it out. Our department will kick out of things. Here's what the application process is. Here's all the study material. And it used to be they'd send you a whole list of everything, and it said study all. Like, oh my goodness, it's tons of books, policies, everything. Now they've gotten a little bit better, and they'll hone in sections. It's still a lot. But one option I can tell you is to take that material early and figure out how you study. Do you just read things over and over and over and get them in your head? Do you need multiple angles? One option you can use is an app called Quizlet, and I'm not sponsored by them. I'm just talking raw about what I've used. There's probably other ones I just don't know about. And I would take, and you can type. You type on the program. It's basically flashcards in your phone. Instead of physically carrying around a shoebox full of flashcards, which a lot of guys used to do back in the day, and some still do, because they like that physical touch, you have your phone on you pretty much all the time. You type the flashcard the way you want, however you want the answers to be, and then it just reads it, or you just click through. That's an option. Start working backwards towards the test date. So when's the test date? How much time do I have? What do I need to study? Start figuring out a way. And that app will even read to you. So you could be driving in your car and the thing can read to you what it's saying and plays a game. There's a matching game. There's all kinds of stuff. It helps really to let it sink in. So that's one option. Let's see. When to take the test. So I took the first captain's written. I think I had been with LA County for 5 years. They offered the written. I said, fine, I'll show up. It's on a day off. I think I studied a little bit, went and took the written. I don't even think I passed that one. But I wanted to see how the test was written, how they asked questions, figuring that down the road, maybe I'd want to do it. Didn't cost me anything other than my time and some studying. But when you study, so what? You learn more about the department. It's great. You just don't want to wait until this has to be the one. And that's a big thing in our engineer rank, I think, is in my personal opinion. We have people that are paramedics that they get to a point, and you've all seen or heard the burned out paramedic. Now they go, I got to get off the squad or the ambulance or whatever you have. And they're going to take the next promotion test up, engineer, driver, maybe even captain. But they put all their eggs in one basket to wait to the very end to where they're at the breaking point or past. And now they're trying to promote off. That one was a killer for our engineer test because I'm not even going to state my opinion on the new engineer test, but that was the engineer test at the time was the hardest one. Not only for the written wasn't that bad. It's the physical manipulation of everything, the driving, all that, the stress of it was a ton. And an estimated pass rate for us was 50%. There would be a lot of people that would put all their eggs in one basket to take that one test in one shot, one kill. And that doesn't happen half the time for people. Then they come back. They're already pissed because they failed. And they're already burnt out as it was on the squad, but they don't want to come off, whether it's financial because it's a bonus position or they don't want the pride of coming off the squad, and it's just a nightmare until the next test. So don't let yourself get to that brink. It's not good. It won't be good for you, your family, whatever you have going on at home. It's just going to add way too much stress that you don't need. So give yourself plenty of time. If you can take the written test for your engineer or captain or whatever within the first time of being on a job, so what? You take it, and people are, what's this guy doing taking the test? He's only been on 2.5, 3, 4, 5 years. You just explain to him, I'm going for the marathon pace. I'm taking it. You may just take the written and then don't go through the rest of the process, which I did the first time I took the engineer test. I took the engineer test. We found out my wife was pregnant. I didn't go take the practical. I told him, thanks, but no thanks. I'll do it next time. I took the captain's test. I don't even think I passed, so I didn't have to make a decision there. They made it for me. Said, you suck, so study next time. So set yourself up for that. Give yourself plenty of time. And now we're going to get closer to the end of what I'm talking about. Been talking for a little over a half hour. So you're going to get all these things ready to go and start laying your foundation. I think I pretty much kept it in order there, but there's always more you can add or more I'll think of later. But long pace down the road is, say you've taken the written test, you've turned everything in, you get on the list. Now, in our department, we banned it. Band 1 through 5. And with 1 being the best, or they had the best written, the best appraisal promotability packet, all that stuff, all the way down to obviously 5 is lower. So, but we'll start to get people that come into our station. And once they're on the list, the next day, they want to start acting. And so the only reason I bring this up right now is because you need a long-term pace, what you're physically doing each day when you're not taking a class, when you're not on a committee, when you're not on this, harkening back to the experience level. It doesn't do anything to say, well, I worked at this station, busy station, we ran a bunch of calls, but you should know your job. You're trying to go up to the next level. So you need to start working towards that. So my personal opinion is, and I learned this from my captain that I worked with after I promoted to captain. And I worked at a single engine house with a squad for 6 months. And then I went to the station after that, was an engine and a truck company. So my counterpart there, Jeff, he said one day, nope, I don't let people start acting until we sit them down in the office and talk to them for a bit. And I thought, oh, you know what? I haven't seen this yet. I've been so used to seeing people go, yeah, sure, whatever you need. What are you on the list? Or you're on band 3 or 4. There's no plan to promote for 6 months. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm not going to sit backwards or drive for 6 months while we wait for a guy to get promoted. So you can come up with a plan. If you're the captain, you come up with a plan and say, okay, certain days we'll rotate or all that. But prior to that, great. A guy took a written test and he studied the books. Good. His packet looks great. He's done all these committees. He's done all this crap. But how is he physically on the fire ground? If you were to start and go, today, you're the captain. Are they ready to go? So that's what he would tell me. And I said, okay, true. Let's figure this out. So we'd bring him in the office. And our department, we have a thing called a comp plan. So a structure fire comes out, a brush fire comes out, whatever it may be. They give us a whole radio list plan that you need to be able to manipulate not only on the handheld radio, but also the base radio of the engine. And you better know how to do it because nobody's waiting on you. And if you're the first in, we have the very big potential in our department, especially in the North region, pretty much anywhere, to be first in initial action on a brush fire. If you don't know how to do that, you're done. So his opinion was, if they don't know how to do the basics, I'm not going to let them sit there. And after I heard that and after seeing what he thought and being in the position of being captain, I agree. So you can come in and say, and you're on the list. Okay, great. Where are you on the list? And you want to come up with a plan with your mentor, your captain, your crew, and say, I'd like to do this. I do have all my responsibilities I have to do still of my current job, because you can't forget those. That'll make your reputation go in the toilet if all of a sudden you poo-poo on your current job because you're too worried about getting promoted down the road. So you got to balance that act out too. And then you come in and say, okay, I'm thinking this, but what do you think? Okay, I've learned how to do the radios, the comm plan, how to put people on duty, how to do the morning report where we're doing staffing and sending things. if you just throw somebody in the hot seat and go do everything a captain does, putting people on duty, paying everybody, checking out their equipment, knowing what to say on the radio, knowing how to run EMS calls, not necessarily running them, but typing on the iPad. It's just the way it is now. It's too much. I say you break them down in over a few weeks or a week and get them ready, which is where I came up with this class. And I'm not the only one doing this class. I just happen to be a clown who decided I'm going to spend my time doing podcasts and physical classes too. There are other people in our department and all over that are grassroots doing this. So you need to start seeking out those people. And then when it gets close or closer, or there's a little bit more of a time frame plan, start acting and asking your captains to act. So my personal opinion only, I also think unless you're really close or you know a crew where you're working an overtime at, you could ask them for some help or their opinion, but it's tough to go to an outside station or firehouse and ask them, can I act? Unless you are within a week or two, or you've already gotten the phone call and you're in that weird window where you're getting your uniforms and you're waiting to go to your academy or whatever it may be, you got to be a little cautious of that one too. It seems dumb, but it's the typical culture of the fire service. So just my opinion on that. Now, as I review everything, I want to say what we had talked about initially. Why do you want to promote? Think about it and figure out what your motivating factor is, because that's going to start the foundation. Why? Then go through everything that we talked about. Marathon pace. Try not to do mad dash, because it's going to be difficult on you, your crew. It's just a lot of stress if you can avoid it. Start planning out way ahead of time. Get your stuff in order as far as classes, education, all those things. If you have a packet type system or whatever you may have, line it out and see where you're at. Seek out that mentor. You might already have them, but don't go to them yet. My opinion only. Until you've evaluated yourself. Then you can come to them. Because you come to somebody and go, show me everything, pound sand. I'm not doing that. You got to do some legwork. Start lining out when these tests may be, calendar dates, working backwards, figure out how to study. Deal with the acting thing later. I just wrote that in here, but I'll cover that down the road again. I'm just overview on some of these points, but some of them I'm going down to the nitty gritty. So those are my personal opinions on this first piece of setting your foundation. So I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. Remember, start thinking about why do you want to promote? If you've already promoted or you're getting ready to, reevaluate if you don't know that answer. That's going to help you motivate yourself to keep pushing forward too. So thanks for taking the time to listen. If you like what you hear, take down some notes or email. I'll leave all that information in the end here where you can get a hold of us. And until next time, have a good day. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fired Officer Project. If you'd like to reach out to us by email, we can be reached at thefireofficerproject@gmail.com, all spelled out, one word, just like that. We also have an Instagram account that you can follow us as well, The Fired Officer Project. And if you like what you're hearing, please share it on to others. And we'd really appreciate a rating review as we build out this content and try to get this podcast out to others. Until next time, have a good day. And remember, keep moving forward.